Fucking good cigar.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live, CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you as always. And as a special surprise, we've got Logan back in the house.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's I was stunned to find out that you were going to be on the show today.
Well, I was actually going to come to the show that I co-host since day one.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's been a little while lately. I was in India for a couple weeks, and then I was in Chicago for some work stuff. And, you know, honestly, Rob, I just really haven't – I've been trying to space my time out from you because I'm going to have to spend 5 days with you at IPCPR coming up.
Copy
and
that.
I just couldn't –
no. Absolutely. Absolutely. No. Build that buffer while we still can.
I'm going to hug you real freaking tight when I see you and scratch your beard.
That's oh, man, I was trimming my beard the other day, and it looks a little janky right now.
It looks a little janky.
I cut a big chunk out back here.
It's hey, all as much as you're balding, it'll just match your head.
It's look at all this. Woo. Look at that.
Dude, you're getting the wings, dog.
I'm locks of love. I'm about 7 months in. I got about 8 inches to go.
You're still doing that? I thought that was just like a thing that you said you were going to do, but you really weren't going to do it.
It's that is very much me, but no, I'm actually going to do it. I'm actually going to do
it. Hey, dude, I'm impressed. I'm good for you, man. It's going to cost.
What are you doing, the Caitlin thing?
Well, it's called Locks of Love. You donate your hair, and it's for kids with cancer, and they make wigs out of it.
Okay. I thought you were saying you're going to do the Caitlin Jenner thing. I was like,
oh, no. No, that's topical though, but no, that's not the same at all. that's I have no comment on that. maybe Logan does. We'll talk about it after dark.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Let's just move on. Anyway, so I don't know how to introduce you guys. This is Tom and Jay from AKA Cigars, but today we're talking about Acme Cigar Company. So thanks for joining us, guys. I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
So we've got all kinds of new stuff to talk about, and I guess we could talk a little bit about AKA too, because I mean, you guys are going to be doing, I would assume maybe something new is coming out over on that side too for IPCPR as well. So, but let's get into tell us about Acme Cigar Company. It's a brand new company. We've got some images and things posted up on CigarFederation.com. You can check that out if you're watching on the site.
I got one question.
First
of all, how'd you get the trademark? That's like such a popular name. There's like Acme everything. How did you get the trademark? Wasn't it really not trademarked for real?
Everybody that we've talked to over the last couple of months, they were like, really? Nobody's ever trademarked that? And there was some old trademarks, but they've been abandoned for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it was originally a brand made in Cuba. You know, it started like in 1898.
Really?
Yeah, and then in the 30s it was abandoned. And, dude, we were just goofing around, you know, and came up with the name Acme.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
And we're kind of with the other two partners, Elliot and Romero, we're just kind of having a little meeting, you know, several months back, and we're talking about, you know, new company names. We came up with some pretty cool ones, you know, and then we're kind of each running through our list, and I was like, hey, what about Acme? They're like, there's no way that could be free. That's got to be taken or trademarked or something, you know. So I opened up the computer and looked it up, and bam, it was free. So. 5 minutes later, I had my application in for it.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's, you know, I didn't even think about that. That's a good question.
That's because you don't really have the level of thought processes I have when it comes to business acumen, Rob.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I was thinking words. That's actually a good question for Logan, because he usually has pretty horrible questions. But
what was that?
No, Logan's good for one. He's good for one good question. So, Logan, you're spent. You don't have to talk for the rest of the show.
No, I'm feeling like asking. All right, but go ahead. Tell us about Acme before I interrupt again.
Yeah, like Robbie was saying, it's a brand new company, brand new factory for us, brand new blends, working with a lot of different tobaccos, you know, that we have, you know, worked with in the past. So it's been a, you know, really really nice challenge for us, and that's change also. So yeah, we've been having a blast with it.
No, but originally, I mean, the deal was. You know, the factory was a big, big thing for me. You know, because we've always worked with Davidoff, you know, in the past with AKA.
Right.
And they've got some, you know, the best tobaccos. And Jay and I were always throwing around, okay, we want to do a cigar in Nicaragua. Who do you want to do it with? And I was like, look, we should do this little factory. It's not little, it's a big factory called Nuts. I said, I want to work with Oliva Tobacco Growers. Of course, everybody first looked at me and was like, what do you mean Oliva Cigars? I go, no, Oliva Tobacco Growers. One of the partners is best friends with one of the other partners of the factory. You just don't get to walk in this factory and go, hey, make me a cigar. You got to go in by invitation only.
Right.
So we finally got the invite to our partner. And, you know, now we're working with the Olivas, you know, using their tobaccos. I mean, dude, they sell tobacco to everybody. General, Altadis, Papin,
Fuentes,
Davidoff, you name it. Everybody buys their tobacco from them.
Actually, Oliva Tobacco used to own the farms. I know for sure at least the wrapper farm that Fuente now owns for all the Opus X.
Right.
They've owned farms all over. John Oliva Sr. Heads up the company now. It is dad, and I'm not sure if it's Angel or Angel. You know, it's spelled Angel, but he originally started the company back in the 30s. And as a very young man, he was actually, his dad was born on a plantation, a tobacco plantation. And after fourth grade, he actually started doing odds and ends jobs for different tobacco farmers, stuff like that. And he kind of grew up in the business. He was actually one of the head guys out there, and he was, what I've learned, he was one of the only few growers and companies out there that did not believe Castro, or Castro had all those guys fooled, you know, that he wasn't communist and he wasn't going to, you know, take over like he did. John's dad, he got his stuff and he got out of there, and he actually, you know, took off to Honduras, and he was one of the last guys to actually get one of the biggest shipments of pre-embargo Cuban tobacco out of Cuba. It was like over a million pounds.
Damn.
And you know, then of course, you know, Castro took over and took everybody's companies, and you know, he was pretty safe, so he started in Honduras and then moved over to Nicaragua. You know, built farms and stuff
all around the world.
You know, now they have a lot. They have some in Honduras,
a lot in Ecuador, Nicaragua. Right?
They have a lot in Ecuador.
They're
one of the main people that everybody gets their Ecuador Habano from now. So
yeah, whenever you hear, you know, we have sun grown Ecuador, we have Ecuador Habano. That all comes from Oliva.
Yeah, even an old. Back in the late 90s, during the boom, an old Cigar Aficionado interview with the family. I mean, they headlined it the first family of tobacco.
Huh.
You know, in the referring to the Oliva family. So yeah, they've been around for a long, long time, and they've got several large buildings that are like, you know, multiple football fields in length and width. And they're just filled with tobacco. It's just amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a million. Did you say a million pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, over a million. It was over a million. He brought it over from Cuba.
Yeah. And then he actually, what I heard,
you need a big boat for that. That's a big boat.
Oh, yeah.
Or what several small boats.
Yeah.
Fast boats.
Yeah. And then he actually, as far as how fair of a man he was, he actually sold most of that back to the Cuban farmers that got put out by Castro, and he sold it to them at the regular prices that they would have bought it for. He didn't, you know, jack it up on them or anything, you know. So, very honorable man. You know, his son now, you know, John Sr., that's running the company, he's a very, you know, very honorable man, really great guy, you know, really cool, you know, loves to talk it up, you know, stuff, really cool. He's his head guy that as he works with us down there in Nicaragua is Gustavo Piro, and he's quite a character too, but he's fun to be with and stuff, and you know, it's helped us out a lot, you know, getting kind of acclimated with the factory down there and stuff.
Cool, very cool. So, so Acme is releasing an IPCPR. And
yes,
with three different lines. So you're going to come in with the Acme Premier, which Logan and I are both smoking. Logan's smoking the Ecuadorian Habano, which is, let's see, I'm just going to kind of read through here. Ecuadorian grown Cuban seed Habano. It's got a double binder of San Andreas and Criollo from San Andreas Broadleaf and Criollo from Esteli. and fillers from Nicaragua and the Dominican. And I'm smoking the Premier San Andreas. It has the San Andreas broadleaf wrapper. San Andreas broadleaf and Esteli Habano binder, so another double binder, and four fillers from Nicaragua. Now, and then the other one is the Route 66. We'll get into that in a second. So, Logan, tell me about the cigar that you're smoking, because you're smoking the...
It's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell? You haven't tasted anything in it yet?
I need... Rob, I've smoked that much of the cigar. Like, you gotta let it develop, man. You gotta enjoy it.
Oh, dude, be like Cigar Aficionado. You gotta rate it in the first half inch and be done.
Hey, man, listen.
Actually,
listen.
Let me come to Logan's defense, Robbie.
Here's the deal. If I'm gonna tell someone to their face, well, actually, via their face, via the interwebs, I'm gonna smoke more than a quarter of an inch of the cigar before I tell them if I like it or not.
Now, let's rewind. Did I
man
ask
of
you?
Honor.
Did I ask you for your full and final impression, or did I ask you for initial thoughts? You don't even know, do you?
I don't really know, because I don't really pay attention to you.
Yeah, he didn't want to mess with you.
I'm sorry, Robbie. He's a pipe guy now.
I am. Speaking of, I don't want to derail this, but I got to tell you, I got the mother load. Dude, me and this dude, this lady, her grandpa died or whatever, and I know it sounds sad, and it is for him. Because we bought his collection, dude, for $600, we're getting 30. I spent 300. He spent 35 pounds of pipe tobacco, dude. We've got like GLP stuff from like 2006, 2007. We've got full Virginia Flake from like early 2000s. I can't tell you how pumped I am. Not that it matters or anyone cares, but
yeah, you're right, Logan. That means nothing to us.
Yeah. You got Republican tobacco? Is that what you're telling me? That was all I heard. The GOP? No? Anyway.
Yeah.
I am a Republican, but I mean, does that matter?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, you said GOP tobacco. GOP to me means the Republican Party. I don't know.
What did I say, GOP? No, GLPs.
Oh.
It's the name of a brand, if you knew anything about
tobacco. That means even less.
All right, anyways.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Anyways, I'm going to shut up now. Initial thoughts?
Yeah, just initial thoughts.
A lot less strength than I was expecting because it has Ecuadorian Habano. It's oddly enough, I'm not really getting... Because this has, you said, a San Andreas binder, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely not picking that up. It's very, to use a Rob word, very creamy.
Nice.
Surprisingly enough, got a nice little spice to it. Burning well thus far. I had to do a little touch-up, and I'll give you more thoughts later.
As we move forward, you can fill us in on your experience.
We definitely work for any of these blends. We definitely work trying to go full bore, you know, strength. You know, we kind of learned our lesson on that on the 2011 respect, but no, you know, we're really just more into full flavor on the cigar. You know?
In your everyday smoke, you can smoke one right after the other, not burn up your palate.
Yeah,
these I'm working on the San Andreas, the Premier San Andreas. It's got a lot of flavor. It's got a nice spice on the retro, nice spice on the tongue, and that nice dark chocolate, semi-sweet dark chocolate type flavor in there, and some earthy notes to it as well. I'm an inch into it maybe, but it's off to a good start. I'm enjoying it.
One of the things too for you guys, if you look at the black line on the burn. One thing we've always noticed with this,
it's fermented really well.
Well, if you look, you'll see it's got a real shiny black burn edge.
Yeah.
And that's from the oils and their tobacco. And Oliva has a special way they process all the wrapper and filler different from everybody else. And they took us to one of the buildings, and he pulls out a hand of tobacco from a blow and goes, here, now this is 40 days old. Shows us the tobacco, and it's perfect from tip to stem, and it's real oily. And I was like, wow. He goes, okay, now follow me. He takes us to another building. Pulls out another hand of tobacco from a six-month age below, still the same thing. He goes, follow me to this third building. But now we're in this huge place and it totally flows. And pulls out a hand of tobacco. And he goes, now these are all 14 to 16 month age blows. And it's still perfectly colored from tip to stem, very oily. And I looked at him and I said, that's incredible. I said, but how did you keep the oil? And he goes, well, it's kind of a secret process. I go, okay, well, just give me the gist of it. He goes, well, the gist is, a lot of these guys, everybody else, when they age their filler, they kind of rush it. And they're rushing it, they're heating it up. He said, so you're cooking that tobacco. He goes, we do a real slow process. He goes, when you cook it, you're cooking out the oils. He goes, plus they use 10 to 14 ounces of water on average per hand of tobacco during this whole process. He goes, we only use 3 ounces of water. So we're not cooking it, and we're keeping the oils in the tobacco. Huh. So the cool part about our cigar, especially the Tandem, because it's all their filler, you know, if anybody else tries to do it, they got to actually use their filler, you know, because this cigar is the same from either end. So, I mean, it's really cool what they do.
Yeah, you know, we've been to a lot of different factories and a lot of different, you know, processing, but the way the Olivas do their processing and everything is just really amazing. And, you know, it really gave us, you know, the big picture of why all these other big major companies from all around the world buy their tobacco from these guys.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just really unique, cool ways that they're working with tobacco.
And their factory, most people don't know, is the second oldest factory in Nicaragua next to Dr. Martinez, you know, the Casa, the Nicaragua factory.
Yeah.
So their factory started in the 70s.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We've been to the factory. Or not the
factory.
We've
been to Hoyas.
We've been to the fields. The Oliva fields.
We've been to Oliva fields.
But I didn't, that's a lot of their history that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with John, we were joking around one day on the phone, and I said, hey, you have a problem with us putting a billboard up in next to one of your fields along the Pan American Highway? He goes, no, why? Well, what do you want to put up? I go, I want to put up there Acme Tobacco Road, 2,000 miles to Dallas, because it's on the Pan American Highway. And he started laughing. He goes, sure, go ahead, guys. Do what you want. So I'm like, okay.
I dare you to drive the Pan American all the way to Texas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You might not come back with your liver.
You're going through some
icy ground.
Some creative places. Some creative places. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about those are the two premieres. And looks like those premieres are starting, what, at... about $7 and $8, MSRP, give or take, depending on the size. Now that Tandem that you're talking about, is that just in the Route 66?
Yeah, just right now we're only doing that one size, testing it out in the Route 66.
Yeah. What's the price point on that?
$7.40.
For that cigar, it's $7.40.
Yeah.
So two guys can smoke a good size cigar for $8, $7.50.
Right. Right.
Impressive.
Then what's this?
That's the new Route 66.
That's the Robusto Hot Rod. Yeah, everything has to do with, you know, the highways, like the Robusto's Hot Rod, the Churchill's the 7x40, the Trimby Chopper, and the 6x54, the Super Toro, is called Big Rig.
Big Rig.
Kind of like the tradition of Route 66, you know, it used to be one of the major highways, and, you know, turned into one of the full the fun highways for people to cruise and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, we want to kind of make that kind of our fun line. You know, it's also a little bit, you know, less lower price point than the premier line. So, again, you know, it's something that we're trying to put out that, you know, guys can just smoke one after the other. You know, if they wanted to get out and cruise on the highway, you know, they could just, you know, keep on smoking. Yeah.
So it looks like, let's see, the blend info here. That's got the Ecuadorian Ecuadorian Habano wrapper on it as well. Jalapa Criollo binder, Nicaraguan San Andreas, and Dominican fillers.
Yes.
So that's you guys are getting a lot of use out of the San Andreas.
Hey, man, it's a good launch.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. We were just talking about that on another show, and... when people started migrating to San Andreas, it's because it was a cheaper leaf at that point, right? A few years ago. But now, that price has got, it's going up, I can imagine.
It's expensive.
It is, but in the past also, when I was working with different people's the way they process San Andreas, it was really, I mean, it's always just been used more of for a wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the Olivas, they're buying it from some great farmers out there. They're doing all their own processing and fermenting. Yeah, they're buying all their own. They're doing all their own processing, fermenting with the tobacco. So it's, you know, I started playing around with it, you know, with the filler binder that they have, and I was like, wow, this is great. You know, it's just way they process is just a lot different than a lot of that I've tried from other places.
So curiosity question is that, you know, typically, you know, the Cuban method, which, I mean, obviously the Olivas, you know, have Cuban heritage, like, but it sounds like, and I didn't know this, but it sounds like the Olivas do a lot of fermenting and the, I mean, obviously the pre-industry stuff, but do a lot of the fermenting and stuff themselves, right?
Yep.
Where someone like Aganorsa doesn't necessarily age it as long. I mean, it's a different, they do different things, but yep, they usually don't age it as long as then people then will let it age and they'll ferment it more and stuff like that. Why is Oliva, if they kind of come from the same roots, you know, the same Cuban roots, why is Oliva process their stuff longer than, you know, Aganorsa, other than maybe it's a personal preference and it saves them money and that's the way they want to do it. I just care if there's like an actual reason they do that.
There is. Well, the biggest and best answer is they've taken all of that Cuban tradition. I mean, with, you know, the founder, Angel, all the way back, you know, from the 30s when he got into farming and working tobaccos in Cuba. They've just expanded on all these traditions, but they haven't just stuck with tradition. They've, you know, kind of turned it into 21st century, you know, thinking and evolving and stuff. And yeah, like I said, if you're ever allowed to go down and visit, you know, and see some of this stuff, you know, no pictures or cameras, you know, but they you'd just be amazed at the different ways they, you know, work tobacco and
But the big thing, I mean, John will always tell you it's about their reputation and their integrity. That's what they're always about. So you're right asking that, Logan, that when they sell somebody tobacco, they want to know they're selling them the best stuff. You know, it's all about their reputation. And that's why everybody does business with them. I mean, geez, most people don't know, but beginning of the year, down up alone bought like 70,000 pounds of their Ecuadorian Habano. You know, I mean, that's how good of their tobacco is. I mean, that's just one sale. I mean, everybody buys. I mean, it's just amazing how much tobacco they grow and how much everybody needs it.
Yeah, I mean, when I was just down there this past month, you know, one of the people from Puente came in there and just bought a...
It was like 80 bales or something?
No, they bought, you know, hundreds and hundreds of bales. They bought a crap ton of tobacco from, you know, right when I was there. Some other guy wanted it, but they came in and swooped it up.
got.
Hey, they brought the black card, you know, and just...
Oh, yeah. Just throw it down on the table. It makes that nice sound that I don't even... Yeah. I pretend like I know what it sounds like. I've seen one before. But that's it.
I saw it once.
I saw it. I was in the same room.
I was 5 feet away.
Yeah.
Several years back, when Christian was still with the Camacho, we're at a bar. He was doing a mojito party, and he had his black card up on the thing and actually snagged it. And he had the whole bar looking for that thing, trying to find it. Finally, later, I was at the door, like, "Hey, drinks are on me," you know, hold it up, you know, and he's like, "Oh man, Jay, you ass."
Yeah, that's how you get punched, man.
Yeah,
you take the black card, and somebody's
you gotta have some serious skrulls to have that.
Yeah, that is legit. So we've kind of covered, you know, the three different blends that are coming out. That's all going to be released at IPCPR. So, and this is actually, well, this kind of leads into a question here. This one's from Dave Nichols. So what's the advantage of creating Acme Cigar Company? We kind of touched on that. But, you know, and I'm going to combine a couple of questions here, and they're actually both from Dave Nichols. So
getting slided.
And he says, you know, the other part of his question is, at what point do you reach a comfort level with what you're doing with AKA to be able to step aside from that and take on a whole new venture?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're not really stepping aside. I mean,
aside is the wrong terminology, but
having the time to do it. Well,
that too.
Whenever we really have the time, we're just, you know, making it. But it's been a ton of work. I mean, you know, just running one company is a ton of work. But you know, this has really been a ton of work. So, you know, we went from 18-hour days to 23-hour days, basically. I guess one of the best things about it is with Acme, we're doing some other things that we necessarily didn't envision to do with AKA, but we did have a vision that we wanted to do. We wanted to work with other factories and stuff. As far as AKA goes, we're very happy working with Gallaudet. They treated us really good. They have, you know, all the best tobaccos in the world also that we can use. We just wanted to, you know, have this other vision and, you know, with Acme, and we, you know, it's how we wanted to do that. We, you know, have a couple partners, Elliot.
And basically, Jeremy. We wanted to broaden our horizon, try different things. And like I said, leave it at back. I've known about this place for a long time because, you know, I've been in the industry over 19 years. And it's always kind of like, geez, you know, I'd love to work with these guys. They're the true titan in the industry, you know, and to be able to work with them is a real joy and honor. You know, yeah. And it, Jason is right. I mean, it's a ton of work trying to put together a second company. But, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, we had to take it, man.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, just kind of like, you know, building your stock portfolio. You know, you're going to have your money in different stocks. And diversify.
Right. You're going to have a lot of ponies in the stable.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So my dad says, even though we don't own horses.
you're all about the cows, man.
Yeah, dude. Black Angus prices are the highest they've ever been. So every time I call my dad, he is just like,
he's in a great mood.
He goes, your trust is great. He goes, he's cows. He's like, dude, I can't make them. He goes, we can't make them fast enough. I go, I remember we used to be able to get a bottle cap for $100 when I was a kid. My dad's like, I am like having multiple offers for bottle caps at like $500.
Wait, and I'm for like, what?
Like if, not a to bottle, like be all farmy and stick, but like, let's say, like, you know, a cow has a calf and it dies, right? Uh-huh. Like, it's not healthy for her, it's not really healthy for her not to have a calf, you know what I mean? Just psychologically and, like, and stuff or whatever. So, whenever that happens, there'll be moms or cows that die during childbirth having the calves. So, what you try to do is pair them up so that calf doesn't die, right? And you try to do all that. Well, typically, people would just more or less, back in the day when I was a kid, give them away like $100, like really cheap. But my dad's like, now it's like $500 or $600. And this is like a calf that can't even walk yet, hardly.
Wow.
I'm like, money in the bank. What?
What are they called?
Bottle calf.
Bottle calf?
Yeah.
Oh, because you feed them from a bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. I learned something today.
Yeah, dude. Anyways, that showed a little bit of my redneck nature right there.
That's all right. And you're out of the I was going to ask you if since your trust had gone up so high, is that why you were in the witness protection lighting? Because we couldn't see you at all, but you've moved.
No, that's just because I'm too cheap to upgrade anything, and my electrical skills are not that good, and Jared hasn't been to my house in a while. So if I try to do something like that, I'd probably end up catching people on fire.
That's a good point.
Just being for real.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Okay, so that was...
it was enlightening.
We got some cow knowledge. Everybody who's tuning in, you're listening to Cigar Chat. Brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here chatting with Tom and Jay of AKA Cigars and Acme Cigar Company. We're talking about Acme today. We'll get into AKA at some point, I'm sure, going down some of these questions. And, you know, it's funny. We talk about how ADD we are, and I'm not gonna make fun of the guy who asked the question, but someone already wants to know if you're planning on expanding in the future. Expanding Acme line in the future.
And, oh yeah.
And I mean, you just the cigars aren't even out yet, and everybody wants to know.
Oh yeah.
I
got plans. I can actually tell you about one. Actually, we're doing a. It's going to be no. We're going to do one that's. Was it going to come out in September?
No, that's late October, November.
Okay, October, November. We're actually doing a our first Limitada. And it's actually an original Frankie Lanezza blend, and Frankie helped. He's one of the founders of the factory there in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And it's the original Signal blend. They had about 7,000-8,000 sticks of this originally. It's all the way back from.
So you're like lost and founding it.
Yeah. So we snagged them up, and we're gonna put that out for as a little Limitada. Yeah. And they are really great sticks.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's the best business model anyone could be in.
It's a great deal, idea. Man. It's a great idea if you can find the stuff.
If you can negotiate, oh, dude, it's a great business model.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, we're looking for stuff like that for Acme, because then we'll probably do, like, maybe Acme Detour or something like that. You know, play off the name Route 66.
U-turn? U-turn.
There you go, U-turn, yeah.
Yeah.
Or on-ramp? You could call it the on-ramp.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different.
Oh, dude, you could go forever.
Plans and some things already in the works, you know, for later That's in the cool. year and also for next year. So yeah, it's gonna fully expand and we're gonna fully expand it, you know, across the nation pretty quickly too.
That's cool. So is this like, and I haven't really asked. I know that you're doing it. You're working. I mean, it's like a, you know, AKA is to Acme as Acme is to like a sister airline, like, you know, that you felt up one time. We talked about that and I made the joke and no one knew what movie it was from. But like, is it, since the people that you're working with, you know, have a background in the industry, is this kind of Acme is like a, I mean, not a global brand, but hopefully, like, is there actually selling it to brick and mortars at the trade show? Is it a shop exclusive? Like, I mean, it's its own like functioning brand.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's not going to be a brick and mortar exclusive like AKA. It's going to be available to everybody everywhere.
Okay.
That's our plans.
And plus, what's cool is this: the idea. Jay and I always talked about doing a, you know, cigar brand by AKA. And instead of this being by AKA, it's just a sister company to AKA. And this way, we have something that we want to take over to Europe, because always, you know, our vision was on AKA because it's American kick-ass. Is it stays in the U.S. It wasn't supposed to go over to, you know, Canada or, you know, Spain or Australia or anything like that. Whereas the Acme can.
It should go over to places where the American Army just kicks everyone's butt. And then they have to smoke AKAs at, like, the cellar whenever they have to sign treaties because we kick their butt.
Yeah. That's why we donate, and everybody should donate to Cigars for Warriors.
Absolutely. I actually just sent cigars to them a while back. And I was going to go to Cats. I did not, and I'm kind of glad I didn't because...
Heard about the hurricane they had.
It was basically a hurricane in South Texas.
Yeah.
Or actually, it was middle Texas, but yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
We got plenty of more questions. So the long and short of that is Acme's just not a one-shot deal. I mean, this is a company that's going to it's going to be around, and you've already got stuff planned for Q3, Q4, and beyond. So,
provided as long as the FDA doesn't get in there and screw it up for us, yeah, that'd be the deal.
That's true. That's still kind of a scary thing out there on the horizon. Exactly.
Yeah. But here is one thing. Turns out the factory does own some old labels, and and has asked us. I mean, we want to see how the Acme gets off first. Now it's received, and then if everything goes like we planned, then he wants us to do stuff with him on his labels. You know, like one of the labels he has is called Red Dot from the 20s.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we may do some future stuff, actually working on blends and marketing and everything, and actually distribute for the factory also.
That's cool.
Wow. So, see, I went and I made fun of the question, and it ended up being a really good question. And now I have to remember who asked it. Don't I feel like the jerk, but whatever. I'm used to it. So we've got, just to bring things back around, we were talking about Cigars for Warriors, and this isn't a question, but this is just, it's more of a thank you. This one's from Jay Reiniger, who's he is an important member of the Cigar Federation community, and he's a member of the Armed Forces, and he just said he wants to say thank you for doing all that you do for the military, Wounded Warriors Project, Cigars for Warriors, etc. Says I love to see people give back like that. That's all I wanted to say, just a thank you.
Jay, you're welcome. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you to Jay, really, for
you're a good day, man.
That he does and the guys that he's with and all the guys tuning in listening to. So thank you. I mean, we say it all the time, but you can't say it enough, really. you guys are built to do something I'm not built to do, and
that it ain't a lie.
Yeah, you're not built for it either, man.
Dude, I would be awesome. I'd be like I'd be like James Bond.
Yeah, you spit an image, man.
Logan'd be a really kick-ass Navy SEAL, I think.
I could see Logan being the guy who kind of breaks your balls when you first get in.
I would totally be the best drill sergeant ever. In the fraternity house, I was the worst. I was the worst to the pledges, man. I treat them like crap. But then, you know, you break them down, you build them back up. It's the circle of life. And, but, you know, what's funny is that you mentioned, like, for, you know, Navy SEAL. Navy SEALs are legit. But it's so funny because I'm going to call out my brother. You would never guess this because if you know me, like, I'm like this tubby white, you know, college book-learned dude. and my brother's like a Forest Recon Marine. So like, yeah. I mean, total bad A, like crazy. And then it's him and it's me. I don't know. I just find it always crazy because people see us and they're like, dude, how? And he's like, just canal. But anyways, hey, brother. I know you're not watching, but what's up?
Hey, he might tune in.
No, trust me, he does it. He's like, what? He goes, so what are you doing? Like, you're talking on the internet with people? He goes, that's freaking stupid. Like, go out and do something outside. Like, go work on a car or something. I'm like, Adam, I don't know how to do that. And yeah, Adam, my brother.
Your brother's a Force Recon. He just wants to kill people. So.
Oh, yeah, he just loves, like, I mean, he hunts all the time. I mean, dude, he's crazy.
He's all about it. I've never met your brother.
He's a cool, he's a very, like, it's very weird because I tell people that and they're like, dude, he must be the savage. And, like, I mean, I could definitely see how he has that side, but, like, he's actually, like, a very gentle person. Like, and I don't mean that, like, in a weird way, but he's just a very calm guy, like, very level-headed, never really gets angry. But when he gets pissed, like, you just stand out of the way because it's just not good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Bob and your brother's got, like, what, 27,000 kills now?
I think
after that many, you just kind of calm down.
Yeah. I know. Well, probably true. I mean, it's funny. But, no, I mean, now he manages, like, 4 or 5 Sonics. So, I mean, I'm sure there's probably dead bodies all over the place there from him just freaking out on people.
You know, I've never seen a Sonic. I get the commercials, and they do, like,
what?
All this. I've never seen – I don't have one here. Not that
you
I know of.
You have never seen a Sonic?
I get the commercials all the time, and the guys that – you know, the two comedian guys who
– Yeah, the horrible commercials.
Yeah, well, they're fine, and they do all the different milkshakes and the different drinks and everything.
But
and
you've never seen
one
in
but
person.
I've never actually seen a Sonic.
Dude, we're renting the car, and we're going to Sonic in New Orleans.
I just said they're in New Orleans, Robbie. You can go find one there, man. You go there, get your chili cheese coney, and then go to a drive-thru daiquiri shop in New Orleans.
Number 4.
Get some tater tots.
Wait,
cheese on them, dog.
Wait. This all sounds great. Did you just say a drive-thru daiquiri?
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, it's normal.
They're legal in Louisiana. Yeah, they got drive-through daiquiris. What they'll do is, you know, they're even open on Sundays. And when you go up to the window, it's like, you know, the old Kodak places.
Yeah.
You drive up and you order your daiquiri, and they put it in a, you know, a styrofoam cup or whatever, and they put the cap on, they put the straw, but they have the paper on the straw so it's still a sealed container.
Yeah.
And they give it to you.
Wow. Hey, that's sealed container in New Orleans? Oh, boy.
Hey, Robbie. Robbie, you looked a little confused earlier when I said tater tots. Do you know what tater tots are?
No, I was confused by you were talking about. Yeah, I know what tater tots are. Come on now.
I love a good tot.
That's the hash browns you get at McDonald's. The big round ones. That's like a big tater. No,
are you being serious? Hold on. Stop. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
You're not American. I just exposed you as a terrorist. You are not from this country.
I don't understand.
You think tater tots, for real, like not joking, like not messing around. You think the tater tots are the little thin hash brownie things?
No. That's not what I said. Tater tots.
Sounded like what you said.
No, but it's not.
It's the same material.
It's the same thing. They taste the same. It's just like that is a big tot.
Okay.
It's not. Tater tots are the little round things.
Okay, you're not.
They're little tiny little logs of love.
Okay,
I'll take like now we're talking about food, you know. But my new favorite ad is the KFC ad with the Colonel, and now nobody laughs. He goes, I love that.
Who is the guy? Who is the guy that does that? Because I see those commercials, and that guy looks so familiar.
Yeah, he's from Saturday Night Live. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's great, dude. It freaks my wife out. I'm like, we're going to KFC. No, we're not. Yeah, we are.
Hey, Logan. Have we now established that Robbie is not a terrorist?
He is not a Russian terrorist.
Okay. So don't send your brother to California to kill him.
I wouldn't have to. If I could just put Robbie anywhere in between about a mile and a half of my brother, it'd be done.
Yeah, I don't have to be downwind.
You don't even – it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. No spotter, just –
I'll tell you a story just real quick about how good of a shot my brother is. It's like I'm like a complete like putz, right? Like I mean, we were out deer hunting a couple years ago, and, like, literally, there was a deer that ran out in front of us, like, 100 yards, and, I mean, I totally just completely missed this deer, and my brother's like, you are pathetic. He goes, I could have hit that with a rock. Like, he's like, it's just pathetic. And then, literally, I'm a deer, ran off in the distance, and I swear, it had to be 300-400 yards away, and Adam uses a 30-06, no scope, just, you know, the whatever sights. And he takes a shot, and I was like, yeah, you missed that. And he goes, oh, no, I didn't. I go, how did you even see that? And then you just see this little thing just, boom, fall over. I was like, how could you possibly do that? And he's like, I go, you didn't even use a scope. He goes, I don't have to. It's just crazy how good of a shot he is. Not that anybody cares. And I don't know why I'm bragging about my brother so much tonight. But, Adam, if you ever need a pick-me-up about all the mean crap I've said to you, you might want to watch this show, because I've been really nice to you.
We'll send him the MP3. You can plug it in and play it.
He wouldn't know how to even use that.
Whenever he needs it. I want to try to steer this back to cigars real quick.
I'll shut up. I'll go on mute.
If that's okay with everybody. Although I am really intrigued about going to a Sonic now. I want to get a drive-through daiquiri.
Oh, you got
to
get a cherry limeade, dude.
Oh, dude.
That sounds pretty
good. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then what do they put on the tots? You said they had, like, chili cheese tots?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything. Yeah. Chili cheese, footlong hot dogs.
They still do their hickory burger. You have to specially ask for it. They don't have it on the menu, but you ask for a hickory burger, they got an incredible hickory burger.
Robert, you have all the In-N-Outs in California, right?
In-N-Out. Yeah, that's burger everywhere. Burger. But, man, I'm telling you, every time I drive by an In-N-Out, every time, and there's probably like four or five of them in my general vicinity, the line is always 20 to 30 cars deep. Doesn't matter the time of day.
And a quick funny story about that. We finally started getting some here around the Dallas area. So this is what, a year or two ago, me and Tom are sitting in a cigar shop, and we're like, damn, we're hungry, you know? So I was like, oh, man, there's a brand new In-N-Out burger. Go down there. You know, all these guys said, oh, yeah, In-N-Out, man, they're fantastic burgers. You get all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I'd never been to one, so I pulled through the drive-thru. There's only three or four different items on the drive-thru. Cheeseburger, hamburger, a double cheeseburger, and they come with fries and pick a drink. I was like, well, this doesn't sound like anything all these guys are talking about. So I was like, all right, got two cheeseburgers and brought them back. Me and Tom were eating them. We're like, man, these are kind of plain cheeseburgers. Just taste like anywhere else. And all the guys are like, no, you have to go inside, because inside you go in and you can get this and that and the other, and they got like 5 million different toppings, you know. So it was kind of funny because everybody spiffed it up, and then I got there to the drive-thru and there was only three things on the menu. You know?
So I can get a cheeseburger or a cheeseburger. Got it.
But Whataburger's a bomb. Sorry, bro. Even Pete Johnson, you know, from Tetuay.
Dude, Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. He comes here, dude. He'll get like the double or triple meat thing with cheese with the jalapenos, and he's like, oh, God, dude, it smells so good. It tastes so good. He goes, then it's like a lead brick for a week in my stomach. I'm like, awesome, man.
Yeah, he wants it every time, you know, a couple times while he's here in town, and then he swears, I'm never eating one again. Then he comes back, and first thing he wants is Whataburger.
That's human nature. We always want what's bad for us. But I do love a good burger, though. But it's funny, we're talking about New Orleans, has some of the best restaurants in the world, and we're going to go to Sonic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot of great food in New Orleans, too.
No, man, my wife, she's coming down after the show, and we're going to stay through the weekend.
Oh, nice.
We're going to be there for 5 nights, I think, and she's got 13, 15 restaurants that we have to have dinner at. I'm going to come back. I'm going to put on a good 70 pounds down there.
Oh, yeah. What do you remember my buddy Albert that helps us in the AKA booth?
Yeah.
He's actually like that. You know, he tells us at the trade shows, he's a foodie. Everywhere we go, you know, I'll go on trips with him, or he'll come with me sometimes. And also, everywhere we go for the trade shows, he's got a list. You know, but he forced us to go to this place. Was it last year?
Last year.
Yeah, last year in Vegas, and it was
called Cafe Berlin. Yeah. It was a German restaurant.
It was a German restaurant, and. Yeah. But it was like 30 miles off the strip. We had to take a cab, you know. And I was like, really? But that's part of the thing, you know, he comes and helps
us
out.
Was it the Hofbräu restaurant?
No, it was called Cafe Berlin. Of course, we pull up, it's a strip center with like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
but I'm like, seriously, dude? How can this be, man?
It was just some of the best food I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, and what's funny, because we're sitting there, And of course, our friend, you know, Albert's Mexican. The Mexican looks around, or Albert looks around and he goes, "Hey, you notice something?" I go, "What?" He goes, "I'm the only foreigner sitting here." We were like the only two Americans. Everybody else was from Germany.
Like, that's wow. Crazy.
It was crazy good food. I mean, we're going to go there. We're going to take a 30-minute, $100 cab ride out there again next year because it was that good.
Yeah. Did you get the schnitzel?
I was going to say Rob loves
schnitzel. Oh, yeah. We had all kinds of everything. But even the sauerkraut, I've never liked in my life, but I actually tasted some of Albert's, and I actually ordered a whole plate full of it for myself afterwards.
Yeah, it's actually two brothers.
It was just that good.
These two brothers from Germany. It was their family recipes that they were doing. Yeah, and it was like, dude, it was incredible.
Those are the best places to find, man. Yeah. You don't think anything of it when you see it, but then when you go in there and the food just tears it up, those are the best places to find it.
Well, and here's the other thing, Robbie, for you guys. I mean, if you're going to be there, tell your wife. If you want, you can text me or Jay. One of the places you want to go to is up in the Garden District. And we're going to go eat there when we're down there next week. It's called Pasquale Manelli's. This is the place that supposedly invented barbecue shrimp. You know, when I thought barbecue shrimp, I thought, you know, shrimp on the barbie, you know, Australian stuff, right? No. No, it's like they got this big soup type thing, and they have these huge shrimp like prawns, and they basically cook them for a day like that. And this stuff is awesome. When they ask you if you want to wear the bib, you just say, yes, put the bib on. Yeah, this stuff is incredible.
Shrimp on the bobby, mate.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, you got to text me the name of that place so I can make sure we get it on the list.
Yes.
So we've got, let's see, we've got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to pull back and ask some cigar-related questions. This one's from Stefan Lindblad. He says, the Premier is said to use San Andreas broadleaf wrapper and binder. He says, I'm only familiar with the Connecticut broadleaf. How is a San Andreas varietal different or similar to the Connecticut-grown broadleaf?
How are the leaves similar?
Yeah, or similar or different?
They're not really similar, but if you want to get, like, technical for that question, U.S. Connecticut broadleaf and San Andreas broadleaf are the only true Maduro wrapper leaves. Everything else has to be fermented and, you know, changed to get that, you know, that effect and that color.
But the San Andreas, to me, has a little sweeter taste than the U.S. or the Connecticut broadleaf.
Yes, totally different characteristics. But.
Yeah. You know, and most people don't know. I mean, when you're growing broadleaf seed, there's actually 28 shade variations. Sometimes, I mean, you may look at a broadleaf or another guy's broadleaf, could be peach, and go, dude, that's not Maduro, it's not dark enough. No, it is. It's the broadleaf seed. It may not be really dark. And the only way to, you know, keep everything consistent, you either have to, like, paint it or cook it or, you know.
Double fermentation.
Yeah, some stuff that, you know, basically to get that everything so it's real dark shade. Normally 10% or less comes out really dark. So, yeah, we weren't really concerned about making it really dark. We wanted it just a little darker than the Ecuadorian so people could see the difference. But we're like, yeah, we don't need it black. We don't want that. You know, I want it real nice, natural. We wanted to keep it kind of toothy. Because a lot of people don't know that, you know, the teeth, those little bumps in the wrapper, that's what holds the oils in your cigar.
That's where you get a lot of that flavor. Yeah.
Right. And if you look right now, that's why I was telling you, right, look at the that little black edge. See how shiny it's getting? That's the actual oils in the wrapper. And what's interesting, not so much the Ecuadorian or the San Andreas, but the Ecuadorian wrapper, the one that, you know, Logan's smoking right now. If Logan looks at it, as you're getting further down, it gets even oilier. It starts releasing oil.
Yeah.
It's real silky in the touch. You're like, wow, dude,
no, it does.
Beautiful.
That just all stems from the way the olivas do their fermentation process.
Yeah, it's not mineral oils like some other manufacturers use. This is all natural, but it's incredible stuff they have. And then, you know, that's what we're fortunate. Going to the guy who grows the tobacco, we're able to keep the price down. You know, if we went to somebody else who's buying the tobacco, yeah, our prices would probably be a whole lot higher.
Okay. Cool. That was, you know, I've been, it's funny, you keep talking about it, and I'm focusing on the burn of this cigar and really looking at it more so than I ever normally do.
Right, that's how it is, yeah.
When you look at other cigars you're smoking, you know, later on, you'll notice it, you know, it's still black, but it looks a little dull or a little dry.
Yeah, it could be bubbled up or something, yeah.
Yeah, it really is real shiny right at the end. I've never really thought about it or paid any attention to anything like that.
Yeah.
So
it was when we were down at the factory back in April, you know, and I'm looking at this stuff, and it was funny because you know, I'm looking at the burn-ins, I'm like, good God, that's shiny. And I ask Gustavo, goes, that, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's oils, isn't it? He goes, yeah, yeah. And it was funny because when we were working on the Ecuadorian blend, you know, it was the last day, it was Thursday, and I worked up a blend that I really liked. I was like, here, Jay, smoke it. He goes, yeah, it's really good. So next thing you know, we're smoking. I see Jay write something on a piece of paper and hand it to the guy who runs the factory, which is actually Omar Ortiz, which you probably heard of. He has his own cigar that Altavis does. And he makes it for them. And he hands Jay the piece of paper. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I got a couple ideas. I want to try something. I go, dude, seriously? What the hell? I mean, come on. We're done. I've already smoked 20, 30 cigars a day. I don't want to smoke another cigar.
That's not enough.
Yeah. And he goes, no, let me try some. We're not coming back next week. So I said, all right. The guy disappears, comes back at, you know, an hour later with the cigars, and Jay lights one up. And I'm smoking my second cigar on this blend I'm like. And Jay said, oh, my God, dude, you got to try this. So I'm like, seriously? No. He goes, no, try it. So I lit one up. I'm like, whoa, wow, this is. He took it to the next level. Jay's just got that palate. He's got that knowledge. I was like, this is insane. So then I looked over at Gustavo. I said, Gus, light the score up. Don't tell me about it. Just tell me what it reminds you of. And he looks at me and goes, Tom, honestly, I've had a chest cold. I'm probably not going to taste anything. I said, no. Just tell me what it reminds you of. He said, all right. So he lights up the cigar. He's smoking it for about 5 minutes, and he's studying, keeps looking at it. He got up, walked to the corner of the room. He's smoking it, and he's like, you know, bringing the aroma up to his nose, you know, fanning it. And he comes back, and he goes, you know, I hate to say it like this, but this cigar reminds me of the earlier Cubans from, like, you know, the early 2000s. I go, that's exactly what I was thinking. And excuse my language, but Gustavo looks at it and goes, effing, man, we got great tobacco. And I go, we got great tobacco. And I go, yeah, you do. That's why we're here, buddy.
So did that cigar end up becoming a blend?
Yeah, that's the Ecuadorian that Logan smoked right now.
Yeah, the premier Ecuador.
Nice. It's funny how...
I wouldn't say it was a Cuban.
Huh?
Come again?
I mean, it didn't really remind me of a Cuban, but it's a lot... It's very mild in terms of strength, but it's got a ton of flavor.
Right.
That's because you hit the pipe, Logan. We're going to talk about that later, though.
What?
He said you got to stop hitting the pipe.
Dude, the pipe, dude, that tongue bite, woo, mess you up.
The pipe is calling to you, man.
Dude.
As long as I hit the pipe in Colorado, we'll be all right. You'll be all right.
I know, man. No, I ain't smoking no reefer.
You got some more questions for us, Robbie?
Yeah, we got a few more. This one is from Bob Dog, and Bob Dog is here without question every week. Bob Dog,
what up, Rob Dog? What up, buddy?
And he asks a bunch of good questions. He's referencing that Limitada that you guys referenced earlier that's coming out later in the year. And that's going to be – that's a true limited. There's only so many that exist. How many are going to be made available? Can you
– 6,000.
6,000.
There'll be boxes of 12, 500 boxes. The deal was there was 8,000 cigars. So when I got back to the States, you know, I called up John and said, you know, hey, I understand you have 8,000 of these cigars. What do you want for them? And so he's, you know, let me talk to the guys. He calls me back and says, okay, well, this is going to be the price for 7,000. I said, well, wait a minute, you had 8,000. He goes, yeah, well, we're keeping 1,000 to smoke. We like that cigar a lot, too.
Yeah.
So the more we smoked it, we were like, okay, well, we're going to release 6,000 and keep 1,000 for us to smoke.
because his head guy, that
Gustavo,
that worked from down there, he thought we were taking them, you know, while we were there. So he actually had them give him like a 100 or 150 of them and took them home, put them in his humidor. Like, you guys are buying the rest, I'm getting mine now, you know. So
yeah. That's so far.
That's got it. Yeah. It's nice when you're the guy that can do that. Like, it's, yeah, oh, you're going to buy these.
That one's going to be a Petite Corona.
Yeah, it's a 4.25x44.
Man, it is just a labor bomb. Like I said, you know, they were rolling back in.
I'm
Frankie Lanezza, so.
They'll retail somewhere between $6-$7. We're still working out the packaging, so we'll see how it turns out.
But yeah, like I said, it's a one-time shot. We could never recreate it. So
yeah,
that's it.
That's awesome. Those are fun, like true limited edition stuff. For me, that turns me on. That's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, I'm gonna put that on my calendar and make sure that I have money in my cigar budget. Excuse me, so I can pick up, you know, however many of these that I want to get, because I know I can only get them once.
Yeah. And we like to, you know, promote our core brands first before we even think about them and stuff. But this was like, you know, we had found these gems, you know, so we're like, man, we gotta have them, you know. So
it's a unique opportunity for you guys, and it's gonna be.
Did I lose you?
There we go.
I think Bobby hit a button again or something.
Oh, y'all are freezing on us.
Oh, good job, Rob.
you're up, Logan.
I guess it's the Logan show now.
Dude, it's always the Logan show, man.
Can we F-bomb it now?
Yeah, I think we're almost there actually. So, you know, was it with this cigar, you know, was the idea to actually go down and find something to do it, or was it purely just kind of happened?
Just luck. It was our buddy Elliot made the suggestion. He goes, dude, why are you down there? I mean, this is second oldest factory. See if they got anything in cold storage. See if there's something interesting that we want to play with, or what there is. I mean, and like Jake said, he owns, you know, a few stores here in Dallas. And he thought, you know, maybe there's something, you know, he'd want to buy and just put in his stores. And we came across this, and we're like, yeah, we're taking this. This is ours.
Yeah, this is mine. That's very cool. I mean, I have not witnessed, you know, anything at a factory like that. I mean, I know, obviously, I've seen the bodegas and all that, and I've been to several factories. But I haven't noticed that, you know, apparently it's actually a fairly common thing for, you know, companies to have cigars that were, you know, whether it be test blends or whether it be stuff that was never sold or never purchased, it seems like it's a pretty common occurrence.
Oh, yeah.
Is it right?
But just finding, you know, those rare gems that are actually really, you know,
they're actually worth
cigars. Yeah. Because, you'll find, and they have a lot of stuff down there that's, you know, mediocre, it's okay stuff, but
it wasn't something we were interested in.
We smoked this and we're like, wow, that's just freaking fantastic. Like, you know. You're not, you know, y'all aren't doing anything with it. We want them, you know. We want all of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you've seen it, Logan. I mean, how many times have we seen a party guest 150? Oh, this is the last of the tobacco. I'm never going to see this again. Oh, look what we found. Really, dude? I mean, you know, the Holy Grail of cigars keeps popping up. So, yeah. You know, that was a thing that's always annoyed me. It's like, dude, when you do a limitada, that's
it's
it.
It's limited.
Right. That's the whole idea behind this. Is once it's released, hey, could we do the blend again? Yeah, but it won't be the same cigar.
It won't be the same cigar, exactly.
You know, yeah,
exactly.
You know, if we do the blend because people want, we might do it. We've talked about doing this again. We'll call it a reserve, and then we'll, you know, make sure it's a year age and tell everybody it's not the same cigar. This is the same tobaccos, but they've changed. This is the reserve now. You know, you can't get the limited. It was done.
Exactly. Well, I think we're coming up, you know, on it, and I hate to do this for Rob and just leave him, but we're just going to keep going. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the AFRN segment. So just want to thank, you know, we'll have the After Dark here after a second, but just want to thank everyone listening into AFRN, tuning in. So Jay, Tom, tell everyone where they can find, you know, Acme Cigars, you know, your website, you know, on social media, where can they find you and where should they look for the cigars and when should they hit the shelves?
We're going to be doing several launch parties the first 2 weeks of August right after the trade show. Sometime right in there also we'll start shipping nationally.
Probably about the second week of August.
So everybody out there, you know, of course, ask your local retailers, you know, for Acme Cigars. The website's, of course, acmecigarcompany.com. Twitter and Instagram is @acme_cigars. And, of course, Facebook is facebook.com/acmecigar.
Yeah.
There you go. Rob, are you back?
I am. I don't know what happened.
So we're wrapping up.
Well, that's good. Thank you guys for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Thanks everybody out there listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back next week with General Cigar Company next week.
So. Yeah, we just want to, of course, say a big thank you to all of our men and women, past, present, and future, that are out there fighting and sacrificing for our country. We appreciate you all and love you all very much.
Absolutely. On that, we'll catch you guys next week. Everybody have a great week and stay safe.
Thanks.
Titty fuckers!
Yeah, what the fuck, man? I was
this is live.
I was in the middle
of... live. It's live, but we're no longer on AFRN, so we're going to chop that out.
Yeah, people can still hear us, so we just... I have to go back.
We don't, like, talk about, you know, anything too bad.
Yeah, people can still see us live, and this will still go out on the podcast as well. So I don't know what the hell happened. I just completely, like, my
internet froze.
Just went away.
Yeah.
So that's good. Well, I can edit all that out too, so that'll be fun. So
yeah. You're actually, since you were off, you're gonna have a whole lot to edit. We just
we just started
to have fun.
Midget strippers. You're fucked.
Yeah.
Maybe it just won't play on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Who knows?
No, we were actually very.
I think they're actually calling Logan's brother back into service to sniper you, Robbie.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that.
That was a warning. Here we're gonna cut your internet. That's the warning.
It's boring, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. Logan, do you have the power to end the broadcast? Do you have that button? I don't have that button anymore.
No.
Oh, well, we'll figure it out. Maybe this just goes on forever and ever.
It's the song that doesn't end.
So we've got some giveaways. We're going to pick some winners tonight. We'll do some stuff on the site, some fun stuff. And we're going to give some stuff away to the podcast as well. So, let's pick, what do you think, four or five winners tonight, and then do the rest?
You